dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are few people who provide a better reading on intelligence matters and certainly bring more intelligence to bear in journalism, especially with respect to national security, than our first guest. He is Bill Gertz, who I'm very pleased to say graces us each week about this time, from the Washington Free Beacon, where he is a senior editor, also the author of the prize-winning Inside the Ring column at the Washington Times. He is the author of seven now best-selling books, including the newest, iWar, about national security in the information age. Bill, one of the most vexing things, I think, about the new Trump administration has been that there has been exactly one presidential appointee under President Trump in the entire Defense Department, as best I can tell, until very recently, namely the Secretary of Defense himself. There's been a thrash between him and the White House about a woman he wanted to bring in as his Undersecretary for Policy, Ann Patterson, a Muslim Brotherhood supporter, for God's sake. She's out, but several others are in. Patrick Shanahan at the Deputy Secretary slot, David Trachtenberg as the Deputy Undersecretary for Policy, Grover Norquist's brother as a comptroller. Tell us a little bit about these personnel choices that are finally breaking through.
After a long delay and obviously a big battle between the White House and the Pentagon, they've begun picking people. For the deputy, this person is a former Boeing executive, I believe. And I think this obviously is going to bring his corporate experience. Usually the number two at the Pentagon is in charge of managing things, while the number one, Mattis, will be in charge of more policy and more public things. Like I say, there have been reports that a key person on the transition, Mira Ricardel, was battling with Mattis over these appointments. And she's moving on to another post at the Commerce Department. And now there seem to be, they need to get these working level people in place. And again, it's always an indicator of what kind of policies we're going to have is by what kind of people are picked. And until we get to the assistant secretaries, like for Asia and for Europe, it'll be hard to tell what direction they're going. But there was one troubling appointment, which was Patrick Cronin was appointed to the PACOM, Asia Pacific Security Center, which is the Pacific Command's think tank. And he came from the Center for New American Security, which is a Democrat think tank. So a lot of angst, especially among China hands, about the direction the Pentagon may be going on that front.
Well, this is indeed troubling. Let me ask you about the subject of your book, iWar. Bill, you've recently written at the Washington Free Beacon about how the United States has essentially been disarmed in the information warfare space, certainly relative to the efforts that the Russians and Chinese are making in that area. Talk a bit about what the implications of that might be.
Well, as I outlined in my book, iWar, they had a hearing this week, first of its kind, actually, for the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Emerging Threats. And they had three experts testify, including Michael Lumpkin, who until recently was the key person in charge of the war of ideas against Islamic terrorism. And he basically said that there's no direction and a lack of strategy. And that was echoed by another guy named Matthew Armstrong, a former USIA official, who also said that there's no awareness of the threat, there's no priority for information warfare, and there's no strategy. So basically, we're losing. At the same time, we're under an information assault, as we saw during the 2016 election with the Russian influence operation. Two other examples were our China's information warfare operation to covertly take over the South China Sea, which is going on without much resistance. And then, of course, on the Iranian front, there was the Iranian information warfare operation to convince the world that by signing this nuclear agreement, they were going to limit Iran's nuclear program, which is, again, going to be open for business in 10 years at the early, if not sooner. And, of course, they got billions of dollars in frozen assets as well. So there's a real need for developing new information warfare capabilities. And it was a real eye-opening experience. One of the testimony from Matt Armstrong was he said he was told by a Russian information official that the propaganda organ RT, which is so pervasive in spreading Moscow-oriented propaganda, he told them that there would be no market for RT if the U.S. media had been doing its job. So it's really highlighting the fact that we have no counter-propaganda efforts and we have no way to promote the ideas of American values of freedom, democracy, and free markets.
Bill, talk, if you would, a little bit about a report that you filed this week about the apparent use by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen of exploding boats that are remotely controlled and the threat that that represents to some of the world's most strategic waterways.
In January, these Iranian-backed rebels, which are seeking to take over Yemen at the very southernmost point of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, are developing, with Iranian assistance and design, drone explosive boats that are designed to be able to remotely pilot it and ram into shipping, either commercial or military shipping. And it's all part of a larger Iranian strategy of encirclement of Saudi Arabia. The Iranians already control or threaten the Strait of Hormuz, where a large percentage of oil shipping passes. And now they're focusing on another strategic choke point in the Red Sea, the Bab el-Mandeb, which is, a large percentage of global oil shipments pass through this basically a two-mile strait. And now you've got these remotely piloted explosive boats in that part of the world. So things are really heating up on the Saudi Peninsula.
Well, in fact, the distinction I think that you've pointed out is for people who aren't interested in conducting suicide operations, this provides another means of trying to accomplish the same end, and is obviously a very, very problematic development. And again, made possible in part, presumably by the windfall profits, I guess you'd call them, that the Iranians garnered under Barack Obama, enabling them to spread their terrorist activities and operations far and wide. Speaking of Russia, Bill, let me ask you about one other story you covered this week. The hacking by the Russians of Yahoo on the one hand and their seeming inroads into Egypt on the other are two very, very ominous strategic developments. Give us a quick readout on those, if you would.
Yeah, on the first part, the Justice Department this week issued an indictment against two Russian intelligence officers, along with two criminal hackers, in a massive cyber attack against Yahoo, stealing some 500 million email accounts or access to those accounts. It was quite an extraordinary operation, and it highlighted this idea that the Russian intelligence service is working with criminal elements for the first time. You know, it seems like for the last 8 years under the Obama administration, there was a hands-off approach to Russian intelligence operations. In fact, Russia itself, as Obama sought to reset relations, at least until the very end of the administration, when they finally expelled 35 officers for the election hacking. But now we've seen a glimpse of the kind of activities that they're doing. This is kind of a new trend. The Chinese and Iranians are also using private hackers with their government cyber warfare experts to break in and steal data, as well as do influence operations. On the Egyptian side, the Pentagon is somewhat concerned about the movement of Russian troops and drones to Western Egypt, where the Egyptians seem to be getting Russian support to help one of the factions in the Libyan civil war, General Haftar and his factions. And that's certainly raising concerns because Egypt has been such a close U.S. ally and reliant on U.S. security assistance for so long. Now it looks like they're shifting to the Russians, and that's raising new concerns.
Much more on that to be followed up in the days ahead. Bill Gertz at the Washington Times and the Washington Free Beacon, thank you so much for joining us each week. Paul Coyer joins us from the Institute of World Politics. We'll talk with him about another aspect of Russia's activities at the moment in Belarus. All that and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.